If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The camera's here, and the microphones, and they wanna know. Oh, oh, oh. If you are what you say. Hello and welcome to The Spotlight. I'm your host, Kente. Today, our guest is Mike DeBoing and WX Ivan. Mike is going to come in and talk about the DCMF modding show. Modding contest. And Ivan is coming in to talk about his show, Wolf in Exile. But before we get started, I'd like to introduce my two co-hosts, Neon Sun and
hello, how you guys
PK,
doing?
PK, but you're calling yourself Cyborg today.
it's a Facebook related thing. That's why.
So what's going on today, Neon?
Well, new Thundercats series is coming to Cartoon Network in 2011. Studio Six. Yes, isn't that great? Yes. Studio 4C is the people who are is the studio behind the Animatrix, Gotham Knights, and Halo Legends animes, and they'll be working closely with Warner Bros. Animation to bring the franchise back to life for the new generation, but for the old school people like PK and me. Michael Jordan is going to be on the cover of NBA 2K11. EA has been taking 2 years to get him on there. Oh, and guess what? Soldier Boy gets to play Gears of War 3 before any of us. Isn't that great? Coming out on the Wii 360 and PS3 next week on June 8th is Tiger Woods PGA Tour 11. Motion control with the Wii remote and I guess standard controls until Project Natal and PS3 move come out. And also Green Day Rock Band. So if you're a Green Day fan, be sure to get them. Exclusively on an Xbox 360, I believe next week on June 8th is Earthworm Jim HD, which should be, I guess, 4-player co-op for certain levels, HD-based graphics, and some new levels and stuff like that. Naughty Bear is like this other Xbox 360 platformer where you're this teddy bear who goes against his enemies using psychological tactics and stuff like that. Also, one more thing for the anime news. Hub is a new network coming from Discovery Channel, who does Discovery Kids and stuff like that. But the reason why I highlight it, because now they have exclusively have G.I. Joes on the network, so there's new episodes of that. And if you're a Strawberry Shortcake fan, 26 new CGI episodes of that.
Son.
I don't know why I included that. I just thought I'd throw that in there for the moment.
I'm a big Strawberry Shortcake fan.
Yes, I do know. But new on the TMU, TOZ version of the site, I've re-uploaded Members of Zero directly to TMU. I've done a mix of Kanye West and Cold as Ice, Diamonds, mix of those two songs. I did a Sonic the Hedgehog beatbox, The Night Code, another rap song with Sonic the Hedgehog, and then two TOZ classics that brought to the TMU for the first time. Celebration Unleashed is a collaboration between Sonic Knight and I. Great, and it'll be a, I think you guys should watch it. It was fun doing it one night. And then Bammy, I Miss You, it's another old school one from 4 years ago. And back to the TOZ YouTube. As soon as more episodes of the Spotlight get up there for download, I'll put them on TOZ. Just right now, it's still day by day of the chat panel with Ben and Kente and I as we talked about video game violence. And that's all my news for this week.
All right. This week we have several movies coming out. Get Him to the Greek, which is the film with, I can't remember, I think his name is Jonah Hill. Yeah. The guy from Superbad. And P. Diddy's in this one as well. We have
Splice is coming out this weekend, and some of us old cats will remember Marmaduke. Growing up, they made a freaking live action version of that. So I don't know if you guys are planning to see that.
Well, it's not SpongeBob yet. They haven't done Courageous Cat and Minute Mouse. Only then will hell have frozen over.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't plan on seeing none of these movies. And then The Killers with one of my least favorite people in the world, Ashton Kutcher. How do you say his name? Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah. I don't plan on seeing that. You know.
Okay.
I don't know. Before we get into our conversation, I'm very underwhelmed of the movies that are slated to come out. What do you guys think? I mean, are any of these movies you would want to see? Would you even see any of these? Would you see any of these movies for free? I mean, I don't know that I would.
Maybe Splice, maybe for free. Marmaduke, no. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you. Splice would probably be one of the ones I'd see. Killers looks interesting, but I could wait on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, if you want to see the chick in it. What's her name? Katherine Heigl. You can just watch Grey's Anatomy, I guess.
She's not on it anymore.
Oh, she's off of it? Wow. Well, yeah. You can watch reruns of it, I guess. Or Roswell. You can check out Roswell.
Oh, jeez.
All right. All right, so our first guest is Mike DeBoing. Everybody knows him as Mike the Modder. He's recently now known as Mike the VO actor. But I guess he's getting back to his modding roots with the DCMF modding competition. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. You guys?
Yeah. Where's your better half at? He's been kind of AWOL.
Oh, yeah. He's, I don't know. He's out and about.
The great Stephen Dyson.
Yeah. Yeah, and we were, we started this competition, and then he just went, you know. I'm kind of hoping he comes back soon. I mean, he's the guy who put up, you know, the entire threads, and, I don't want to overstep my bounds. I guess I'll just, you know, keep the thing rolling until he shows up.
You know what I'm starting to think is it's like a lost thing where he's like trying to look for his replacement or something. You know, he's trying to find the next, you know, Dalai Lama to take his place.
So. Oh my, the Dalai Mater. Well, I'm Yoda, so.
Yeah. Remember, you're Yoda, he's Mace Windu, and a monk is Jar Jar Binks. Okay. yes, Judy, Steven is missing.
Yeah.
All right, so you've been on a couple of shows pimping the contest, so you know you got to come to the spotlight. So
yeah.
I kind of let people know about the contest, Mike.
Okay, well, the contest is basically for people who are brave enough, a.k.a. stupid enough, to try to learn Blender. And the way we try to encourage people to do so, because, you know, one would have to be either very desperate or, you know, very, psycho and masochistic comes to mind, but we decided to make it fun and productive at the same time. So we came up with the idea of having a competition where we have a set of rules to follow. It's a competition where people have to design a character, preferably a humanoid, ultimately to get into the movies and into iClone. The process is pretty much the same up until export. So the competition is spread on 9 months. first month is character design. We want to see what people are going to come up with as far as design is concerned. During that period, we'll also post a few sample templates designed around the main character or the dummy character, I should say, of the movies as a reference base, simply because we think that if you're going to create a character for the movies, you know, technically it should be created according to that specification. Now, if people are really creative, they can go, you know, they can really do pretty much what they want up until a certain point. We've seen an awful lot of people come up with designs that actually don't fit the general scale and proportions of a humanoid from the game. But a lot of people are actually, you know, creating stuff that goes a little bit beyond that, and that's what we're hoping, you know, to catch. Or something, you know, really well done. Even if it's just a standard human, you know. It's got to run into the game. So, you know, you could technically create a brand new character. It could be a human, could be anything, really. Mm-hmm. And but it has to be original. It has to be your own creation. Can't be copyrighted material. Can't be something that you pull off the net and then you just, you know, peef pab, there you go. I did this in Blender.
So no Mickey Mouse, no Pokemon, no.
Well, you know, you could technically create a Mickey Mouse-ish character.
How about a Metal Gear-ish?
But it can't be. It can't be Mickey Mouse, you know. I mean, let's face it. I can see a lot of problems why you wouldn't want Mickey Mouse.
So my idea of using Kick-Ass to create a character around, you know, do a Kick-Ass mod is out of the question for the contest.
Aww, that would have been awesome.
Well, why Kick-Ass?
I thought, well, gee, this looks like it would be interesting because it looks like the shoes, gloves, and the two bats that he wears on his back would have to be modded, plus a little bit of hair that sticks out from under the mask.
Well, you know, you can do a superhero if you want. You can do just about anything you want. Just, you know, try as long as you're learning and you're trying to be original, why not do something you've always wanted or something that you thought, hey, maybe I'll try this. And, you know, go crazy, go creative. It's all in the fun. It's also part of the learning process, you know. To make things easier, not easy, but easier. Posting the dummy template as a reference will also make sure, or help you make sure that you get your proportions right, get every detail right, and eventually it's going to help you along. Then the second month is actually creating. The next month is learning Blender. We'll have a lot of tutorials. We'll have a lot of tips and hints on how to go about learning Blender. This is the learning part. I think we're going to take 2 months for that, just to make sure that everyone gets a fair shake off the Blender UI. As we all know, it is not the friendliest of applications. But strangely enough, once you start to get it, it actually makes sense. It's just, you know, getting there that's kind of like the, you know, the leap of faith, if you will. You know, if whatever doesn't kill you can only make you either crazy or a Blender god. So, after that, once you start creating it, modeling tips, we'll show you how to do stuff how to get creative and how to go over some of the hurdles associated in making characters. Then it's off to bones and rigging. That's one of the reasons why we insist sort of on using the movie's character layout is because we already have a set of bones that is already pre-done. But we also think that, you know, if you get the modding bug and the blender bug bad enough, you could technically create your own armatures. In iClone, that would not be a problem. For the movies, it might be. So there's going to be a decision at that point if you want to, if you're really, really, really into more iClone stuff than the movies, well, you know, we will take that into consideration because at that point, we figure you will be pretty much very advanced at that point if you do decide to go the iClone route. That means that you will have succeeded into, one, making custom armatures. You'll know how to weight the vertices according to, what you want it to do, how to flex and how to move. So, yeah, at that point, you know, could be a good thing. But we're not trying to, you know, make you experts by any stretch of the imagination, at least on this round. Then you're going to... I've missed. The clothing part, isn't that amazing? Yeah. You could have a, you know, stark naked character, and, yeah, in some instances that might be good.
Anatomically correct, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. If you're going to be naked, you better be either extremely funny or anatomically correct. there's no two ways about it.
You know, the only thing is, though, you don't want a naked character because of the you're going to actually make a 3D model, you know, print of it. So
who am I to judge? I mean, it's art, right?
Right, right.
Right. We are doing this for art, and, you know, naked people are artistic. So, you know, obviously there are some more artisty ways of going about it, but, hey, that's not too bad. Once you get all the clothing done, and or not, or as much as you want, or as least as you want, then it's armature. Animation is next, hence the importance of getting all the, the character built right. And at this point, 3D modeling, 3D rigging is all about making compromises. And also, one tip that may, help people, deciding, I don't really know that much about this. Keep that in mind. Creating a custom character is a work in progress on so many levels. You will go back to the drawing board, so to speak. Often, you will correct things. You will learn how to correct things. You will learn how to improve on your design the further you go along. Now, just because you created this character on the first try, and it will happen that once you get to rigging, you will make it move. It will not look right. Then you will go, oh my God, I completely forgot. Oh no, I did this and that. Don't worry, at that point you do make adjustments. 3D modeling is all about tweaking. It's all about making compromises and adjustments. So, a complete redraw may be in order, we don't know, but more often than not, no. It's just a question of, looking at the problems and fixing them on the spot. To make sure that everything is working right, the last part of the challenge will be a 20-second animation. It could be as, simple or as elaborate as you care to make it. At that point, if you're not completely berserk, nuts, psychotic, or at least bald, then Sorry about that. That's okay. Yeah. Yeah, she sounds cuckoo. She's already started. we'll have tutorials also on how to light and shoot animation in Blender. Blender, for people who don't know, is a fully loaded 3D application. You can render, you can do special effects, the whole kit and caboodle. Just making models is just one part of it. So from there, and then we'll judge according to our totally impartial criterias. We'll go from there.
Are you guys accepting any payola?
No. Payola, that's old school for what is it called? Gratuities? Favors? No. We cannot be bought by any means.
Thank you. Speak for yourself.
Yeah. She'll try.
In case no one knows, say what the prize is. The prizes are great.
Okay. Now, the prizes. Ah, yes. What would a contest be without prizes?
Midway through the contest, there may be a distribution of modding hour T-shirts.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for the Pussy Nibbles T-shirts to come out. Yeah. There also could be, there will be that. A standard version of iClone 4 and 3D Exchange for the winner. And on top of that, the big, big prize, if it works out. If is this a for sure thing yet?
A date with Monk?
No.
But we're still working on it, and it's getting closer to being done.
A complete 3D physical model of your creation sit on your desktop.
Wow.
Yeah, and not on your desktop. It's going to be sitting on your desk or
actually
your mantle or wherever. It's also going to be in color. Simply because new generation printers and the one we're actually looking to get actually does color. So, you know, there will be extra points for texturing after the modeling part. And keep that in mind. It can be posed in any pose you wish. And once it goes into the printer, it comes out as a solid model. It is actually a very tough material. So, this is another plus, because these things are very, very, very impressive when you get one into your hand and you can say, I made this.
Nice.
I love that saying. Speaking of which, Stephen was supposed to start. Stephen and I was supposed to start on the video portion of the competition's advertising. So I think I'll start on my own, and should he come back, well, we'll hopefully soon. We'll just get together and then whip it out as fast as we can.
Does anybody have his number?
I think we have him on Facebook, but he hasn't shown up since last May 25th, which is really bad, because that's the day I went to Amos, my old hometown, for the one final time.
Aww.
And when I came back, he wasn't there. I mean, you leave the town for one day, come back, everyone's out the door. Darn it.
Maybe we can send Ethan and Tom after him. They're about the closest to him, right?
Right, we should.
Well, that hopefully I'm going to join the contest. I believe Ben is as well.
We have. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention that you have until the 30th of June to enter. You go to the DCMF and the TMU forum threads, and you follow the instructions and apply right there, and then we'll set you up.
All right, I can't wait. I'm it should be fun because the modders are some the people that. You know, I don't think anyone can use the movies without mods, and make a real seriously good movie. So, to have that skill is really important for us filmmakers, especially the ones who use the movies and iClone and whatnot. And what's so cool is what's going on with using both iClone and the movies, together is really great. So hopefully everyone will take heed and join this contest. And if you don't win, at least you'll learn how to mod.
Yeah.
And then also there's great tutorials out there. And Mike has this really great tutorial called The Burger of Doom.
Yes, yes. I highly recommend The Burger of Doom. Tutorials. If you're into this, if you've already figured out how to use Blender, but you can't figure out how to bring your stuff into the movies, The Burger of Doom will take you step by step.
Yeah, the series was built around a simple concept, and I take it from A to Z, from concept. To final export as a prop into the movies, and I never edited any errors on my part,
which is what makes it so good. Because you see the stuff that Mike forgets, and you think, oh, okay. And when he forgets it, he tells you, okay, this is why you have to have this in order for us to go forward. Each one of these movies is like what 30, 40 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think, well, that's an awful long time. No, it isn't. It flies by, and I'm continuously stopping it, taking notes. Because, like I said, it is the definitive way to, especially parts 2 and 3, of getting your mod into the movies.
Yeah. It helps you also that whenever I do any kind of move, any kind of keystroke, any kind of action, I do take the time to tell you what's going on and why. A lot of people I've seen in tutorials always assume that you've been around Blender a little while or that you have some experience into 3D. As much as I could, I tried to put myself in the shoes of someone who's completely new to 3D, that especially Blender, where there are some quirks from the beginning, from the get-go, that need to be addressed, because the user interface for Blender is so un-Windows-ish that it does create a lot of confusion.
Yeah, I love the part where he goes and he reloads the file three times. He says, now you have to do this three times in order for everything to work itself out. And you don't understand it then, but as he goes along and moves through this, you understand why he did this, why he reloaded the same file three times.
Yeah, yeah. Because Blender is a work. It's always a work in progress. I mean, software is always evolving, but up until 2.5, Blender was always a mishmash of just about every possible. Code that could be crammed into this thing. It's a Frankenstein monster of a software, and it's got its quirks. It's got some serious flaws in the way it handles data, and unfortunately, the game, game assets do not give you any leeway. They have to work. And if there's anything left over, no matter how much you try and Blender keeps it, sorry, it's not going to work. So at some point, you really have to know how to get around some of those quirks. And yeah, opening and closing and saving three times. Yeah, that's yeah. At first, when Steven told me about it, I said, "You're kidding, right?" He said, no, you have to do this, mate." Really? He says, "Yeah, that's how it works."
Well, not in 2.5, though, right?
Believe it or not, in 2.5, well, we haven't seen it yet, simply because it's always evolving, and we haven't seen any indication that you still need to do that, which is fine. Once we get, and I'm stretching it here, but once 2.6, which is going to be the definitive, stable release version of Blender, the new Blender, then Gleam is going to overhaul the import-export scripts for the movies. At this point, we'll see, one, if we still need to do that. We are going to try to keep pre-flight, the pre-flight script. Pre-flight, for people who don't know, is a sort of a parser. It's a checkup script that we run before exporting. And this script actually writes up a report. It's a web page. And you see what the game is actually looking for. And if it's there, it turns the line green. Anything
and you
else?
You have to use it.
Yeah, and you have to reason that Gleam, because I don't know why he did this, but anyway, Gleam went one step further than pretty much everything we're used to from Microsoft. Microsoft always tells you, "Oh yeah, this is wrong." You know, you get an error, this is what went wrong. Gleam went a little further, and he's actually telling you what the game is actually looking for. So it's a little bit different, because we're always thinking, oh, it's an error message, what is the error? Gleam says, no, this is what should be there. And for some people, it's a little bit, me especially, the first time I tried it, I said, why is it telling me something I already know when it's there? And I was thinking, this is an error. But he said, no, this is not an error. This is what we're actually looking for. So, in essence, he's not only telling you there is an error, he's also telling you how to correct it.
Wow.
So once you get the knack for it, debugging is actually getting a lot better, a lot more efficient, because we're actually, Gleam is actually telling you in his script what the game is actually looking for. So it gives you a clue as to what to look for.
Well, Mike, it was great as always to have you on the show. Remember, June 30th is the deadline to register. And if you can you post a link in the chat room? So
sure.
Everybody, you know, join up the contest. Blender looks hard. It looks Chinese, but after a while, it'll start looking like bad English and then regular English, and then there you go. You got it. So thank you, as always, Mike, for coming on, and I'll definitely be in the contest. And I believe Strange and Solaris will be as well.
Ooh.
So
that should be interesting.
So, all right. So we're gonna bring on our next guest. Thank you so much, Mike. Our next guest is a filmmaker, writer, a VO actor. Name he goes by the name of WX Ivan. He has a series called Wolf in Exile. Before we bring him on, we're going to play a clip from his show.
Find them and take them out.
Ivan, I think I may have come up with something that could possibly work.
Sir, I don't think that's a good idea.
Oh, here we go again. Don't worry too much. We can make a difference with only one mech for now.
But what makes your one mech so special?
BB and Sarah thought it was a foolish idea. But after I convinced them that it would surely put a big dent in Palm's plans, plus build up crew morale, they went with it.
We could use me as bait to get them to make their move.
You're right. Hey, that just might work.
Ah, now I understand. Yes, sir. Right away.
You got it. Let's get it done, people.
Aye, sir.
Hello. Hey, what's up, Ivan?
What's going on?
How you doing? That was a clip from, I believe, the season one premiere, right?
No, that was a season...
Season two premiere.
Yeah.
Yes. And who were the actors in that scene?
It was... what is that guy's name? I think his name was Act 3, Scene 24. You know, some guy lives in a box or something. No. Actually, yeah, it's Jorge and it's Sonya.
The great actors they are. Yes. It's funny, Jorge playing a black guy. That's so funny. Who was that last
guy? He's a Latino guy, too.
Yeah, I know. It's a real stretch for him. He's like, let's get it done, people.
No, but I got to give kudos to Jorge because, you know, he came through in a pinch. He did two major characters in this series.
Oh, wow. Well, this
is for Jorge. I love you, man.
you're the only one. You're the only one who loves him.
I take big checks, Jorge.
So for the few people who don't know, explain to the audience what Wolf in Exile is and how you got the idea, how it got started.
Okay, what it is generally MechWarrior. The clan I was in was called Wolf in Exile, and it's a bunch of guys that just shoot the hell out of the other opponents and everything, and I always devise ways of blowing people up.
Nice. Go ahead, sorry.
All these other games came out, and people just kind of drifted apart. I stay in touch with maybe about three or four of the guys that I used to play with. One, in fact, is one of my voice actors, too, is Sharptooth. He helps me out every once in a while. He's even given me models, 3D models, for what I plan to venture into. And I started out, I made like little 10-minute clips of just the play action, and I decided then to see if I could make a movie out of it. And I did. Like I told you earlier, I ain't too proud about it. That's why I'm remaking it. But this is before I joined the TMU community. And I look back at it now, I'm not just, ugh, I throw it away.
Yeah, we all, that's pretty much almost everybody.
Indeed, it's the worst stuff I had since, man, I can't remember, since my college day. And I used the movies game. Yeah, I used the movies game, but after this remake, after I finally release it, will be the last time I make movies in the movies game. So I'm venturing off into different programs.
So I noticed within the series, in the beginning scene for this episode, it starts off with a dream. And there's that lady there, and she was voiced real well. Can you explain, as a story element, what she has to do with the story and stuff? I mean, I'm assuming that's his girlfriend or his fiance.
Yeah, correct. That's Well, let's see. The very first episode, not the very first episode, but the very first season, I had it to where Ivan understood the language of the enemy. And this is the reason why I put that in there. So, because she was teaching him how to speak the language. And so then in, I think it was episode 4, there was these two guys from the Palm walking by him, them not knowing that he understood what they were saying. Then he went and told his con, and all hell broke loose.
And when it came to using Mech Warrior, what was your inspiration? I mean, did you watch any TV shows like Battle of the Planets, Gundam Wing? I hope I'm not missing anything. Or play any video games like Zone of Enders or anything like that that helped with the story for Mech Warrior?
No, it's generally the game, and the storyline just rolled around in my head, and I had to put it out on paper. And when I got into the community, there's a few people that offered to help, and they held up their end.
Yeah, you have an outstanding cast. Just kind of rattle off some of the names of the people in your cast. We mentioned Sonya and Jorge, but who else do you have in your cast?
Well, I got my wife. She's playing Lynn Lake.
What's her name?
Yeah, Lynn Lake.
Oh, okay.
And I have Chris 62. He's one of the villains. K4 is another villain. I can't think of something right off the top of my head. I don't want to get confused with the Sting of the Scorpion series, because there's new characters in there. But in the EOS series, I have Joseph KW.
Wow.
I can't think of any more right off the top of my head.
you have an outstanding cast. One thing I've noticed, and I wanted to ask you this, it appears that you use Photoshop or to do the mix. Like, how do you do that?
Okay, what I do, I'll turn the game on, because I have a Mac. So everything I do for the mix and everything, I do on a PC, and then I have to port it over to my Mac. Mm-hmm. But I'll take snapshots of the gameplay. Or actually, what I do, I'll be in another mech, and I'll walk up to the mech that I want to take a picture of, and I take a snapshot of it, save it, and then later on pull it out and turn it into a JPEG, and then put it over into that Photoshop and work on it. Just kind of do the cut around, cut all the background off of it. It works.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that's a lot of work, huh?
Well, you know, there's some things you got to do to make it look believable.
Right.
And I use the same pictures over and over again. There's some, like the Blood Asp. It's a big camouflage green mech, and it's got the skull and crossbones on it, but I had to blot something out because it originally said WX Ivan, where the skull is, so I had to kind of blot that out where it's just the skull, because he's not in WX right now.
Right.
And to get the mechs to move, I put them in After Effects, CS3, CS4, and that's what generally makes them move. I can make them move across the screen. I can make them, put that Gaussian blur in it to make them look like they're actually doing something.
Right. Yeah, that was pretty inventive, too. I know in a season 2 premiere, you had a scene where a rocket, the payback, you know?
Yeah.
I like that, by the way.
I was wondering if anyone's going to catch that.
Yeah. You know, you should have had a little James Brown going at the same time. That would have been funny.
Oh, yeah.
There's another clip that I want to play for you, and I want you to kind of talk about it. Monk, are you there? Can you play the clip?
The head of this clan, his name was Cain.
Jackass.
To the faction, he caused great pain.
Jackass.
His minions, who finally heard of Shao, take on this faction and wipe them all out.
Jackass.
Warning. Warning.
Okay. Hello?
I'm here.
I guess he stepped away from the keyboard. Oh, there.
That is your property, yo.
Oh.
The head of this clan, his name was Cain.
Jackass.
To the faction, he caused great pain.
Jackass.
His minions who followed heard him shout, take on this faction and wipe them all out.
Jackass.
Warning. 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 Warning.
The palm were bold, the palm were cold, the palm wants your gold. That is your property, yo.
When I was doing the research for the show, I came upon that, and you know, I'm a big, obviously big fan of rap music, and so is Neon and Knight, who's the co-host on there. And okay, tell us how that came about, and tell us what we were listening to.
Okay, that was this story about what happened from the beginning. And it was up until that point. I made that right after episode one of the second season. I'm a mailman.
Uh-huh.
Okay, there was this parcel I had in my satchel, and it was making this weird noise, something like a rat, like rah, rah, rah. It just kept doing it, and I couldn't wait to get rid of it. You know, that sounds like it could be a rap. So I started scribbling down some lyrics, and I put that together in 3 days. and it was an old school rap too. It wasn't that new stuff that didn't rhyme.
Right, it wasn't a hip. It wasn't that hippity hop shit.
No,
the goose shit.
And of course, Jorge has something to say about it. He cranked out something else, and yeah, it was pretty good.
It's you know what? I thought we didn't have any rappers in TMU. Now we do.
Yeah.
Oodles and oodles.
So when are you going on tour?
Oh, no. I'm done with the tour thing.
Damn, you started already.
You got one hit, one.
So, that was just something I had to do. It was just out of fun, and I probably don't have it in me to do another one of those.
Okay. I know how you feel.
But don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if one comes out one day.
No, we're going to hook you up. Hey, Knight, we're going to hook him up with a dope beat. You know, it's gonna be dope.
Get something John made.
Oh yeah, right, my nephew, right. Yeah, he can make the beat. Oh yeah, it's gonna be dope. You know, so. So your theme song, where does it come from? I really like it. Incorporated into the rap song.
That's Smart Song.
Uh huh.
Yeah, forget what job. CD that comes off of, but it sounded good to me back when I was making the original Sting of the Scorpion movie, and I just stuck with it.
Yeah, I hope you don't get rid of it. I really like it.
No. That's the theme song of the series.
Okay, good.
I didn't incorporate it before in season one because it just didn't seem like it was the time because I didn't have too much mech action going on then.
Mm-hmm.
And now, hey, I just need to learn to shorten it up a little bit because I had people complaining that the opening title was too long.
Yeah.
And then they thought that was the movie. Oh, well, okay, well, it's a bunch of mix, but it's just pictures. They're just moving across. And...
Yeah, I liked it. I seen it a bunch close together, but yeah, it would be better if you shorten it up, but you know, hey, those people, they just got to watch it. That's why they have fast forward.
Exactly. I mean, hey, this is like 2010. You can fast forward anything. Play it backwards.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Your music is good. The sound design's real good. I see that somebody named Rivers, Irving. I had notes, but I can't find them. Rivers wrote it.
Oh, that's me.
Oh, so WX Ivan is. I thought maybe you named the character after yourself, but...
Oh, no, 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 no.
Okay, so you're a Rivers.
It's the other way around, yeah. That was my character when I was playing with Wolf in Exile. Actually, the long name for it was Ivan the Bastard.
Ivan the Bastard? did you say Ivan the Bastard?
That's right.
I like that.
But you know, the thing is, it didn't fit. You know, if you ever played MechWarrior, you put your name up there, it would originally fit, but when you put the clan tags on the front of your name, it didn't fit. So I just had to call myself WX Ivan. But I was tearing it up in the day. Break out a T-bolt. Because people didn't like using those because they didn't lock. It was just a shoot and you hit or miss.
I mean, one thing that I did appreciate about the mech series that I watched it today, you know, it was, not that I'm reviewing it, it was straightforward, it was good, you know, and I liked that, you know, that the team did come out on top. The thing I did notice, though, is that I know that you're saying you're moving out into a new program, but it seemed like when the good guys are fighting against the bad guys, there was only just a little bit of resistance. But my favorite scene is when they crossed each other, and I forgot what he said. The bad guy explodes as the guy says, "All right, who's next?"
Oh, yeah, he says something.
Oh, yeah.
You young guys don't know how to use your mechs or something like that. You're right. That was funny.
That was funny. So, I mean, the new program, you're going to be able to have the enemy mechs, I suppose, move and fight back, is what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But it was... Oh, sorry.
Well, go ahead.
It was still good. It was great. I loved it. You know, it was fun to watch. You know, and I liked the music and the atmosphere and the sound effects. One of my favorite shots was when he was sitting there with his girlfriend doing a dream sequence. You know, I felt like I was laying down there next to him as they were talking. Not that I'm trying to sound, you know, weird or anything like that, but the shots were good, you know.
You were laying down next to her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Oh, I need a girlfriend. But,
Are you soliciting girlfriends on my show, man?
Not sure. Hey, you know, I'm a single black chiller, 25, you know. I go out to the beach.
Save that for the midnight show.
All right. I'll save for the midnight. After hours. Yeah, no, I'm just joking. But yeah.
I drew from this motherfucker. Okay.
But I like to do that. So, I mean, good luck to it. I mean, good luck to your series, I guess I'm saying.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, like I was saying, after Sting of the Scorpion remake that I'll release hopefully by the end of this month, I'm going to go on a long hiatus. Actually, it's not that I don't want to discontinue making the series, but I wanted to learn what I need to learn so I can continue the series.
Right. You know, because we all got to learn new things and stuff like that, and I understand.
Yeah.
I would like to get to learn this Blender stuff, you know, because it sounded interesting, Mike's contest, and, you know, I'm going to see where I can download Blender and stuff like that if I'm not too busy and lazy. So,
cause hey, I'm
yeah, it's got a decent price. It's free. Can't be free.
Oh man.
I was going to sell you a copy of it.
Good luck.
I'm going to sell you Audacity. I'm going to sell you iTunes.
Oh, Skype.
I'm going to sell you Skype. Right. You got it. Then I'm going to charge you to watch Wolf in Exile.
Okay. $5
Don't worry. I'll cut you in, Ivan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, not the hustle.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Knight, you said you had a question?
Yeah, I actually did. You have to forgive me, I'm like brand new to the series as of tonight. But I was just curious as to like how many episodes are planned for this season, and in comparison to what you had the previous season.
Well, see, I had 7 episodes last season, and I started out with 3, and then I got that wild hair where, I want to finish the series, but I'm tired of using the movies game. So, because, you know, it limits you to certain things, and I feel like I'm in a holding pattern.
Mm.
So if I can venture out with Poser, Daz, Carrera, and Hexagon 2, and some of the other 3D programs, I'm thinking it'll benefit the show.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Have you written anything of the new season?
Oh, even before I started on episode 1, season 1, I written the whole entire script. But, like with Payback, I added more to it. You know how you improvise, you know, you do a little rewrites here and there. I wanted to make it so that it would make sense.
Hmm. Well, that it does, man. Are you going to premiere Scorpion in TMU Theater?
Yes, I am.
All right. How long do you
think? Huh?
How long will the running time be?
I'm looking at maybe an hour.
Oh, wow. Good.
Yeah. But I don't want to make it to where there's a lot of dull moments in there. I want to, like, eliminate a lot of stuff. You know, the original one, it was kind of drawn out. And I look back at it and I say, oh, yeah, I shouldn't have added that here. I should have cut here. I should have, like, explained myself here. There was a lot of things I was limited doing. Because I only had 3 voice actors back then, myself, my wife, and Sharptooth, and that was it. So, you know, I had to improvise with the voices.
Now you have a whole community of people. Plus. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've seen you in the chat rooms during the other shows, and you know, we kind of talked to each other briefly, and I've always wanted to have you on the show. I really appreciate you coming on, and you know, when you premiere the show, Sting of the Scorpion, please come back and we'll talk about it. We'll get your cast on as well, and we'll do a whole Sting of the Scorpion show.
Yeah, one of my voice actors is here right now, Jorge.
Jorge and Chris, 62. Jorge and Chris, 62.
No, he's not in Sting.
Oh, he's not?
No, he's not.
Oh, okay.
But he'll be coming back.
Oh, cool.
But his character has a new look, though. He doesn't have the long hair and the black lipstick.
Oh, so you're going from other look other than his own look.
I wanted to make the bad guy character, you know, a little eccentric.
Mm-hmm. And, with that red hair and he looked like a red-headed Jesus.
Well, he has a sister, like a twin sister or whatever. She has red hair too.
Uh-huh.
And she's kind of the stealthy person, the one that pays off these people to do clandestine stuff, you know, that you don't expect them to do. But her character will be in Sting of the Scorpion too, just briefly.
No, her A wears lipstick. That's funny.
Does he?
Before we get out of here, Neon, would you say what's up to everybody in the chat room?
Oh, sure. Hello, Judy Ann. Hello, Jorge. Hello. Hello, Anime Technica. Thank you for enjoying my lines I sent you. Hello, Chris62. Hello, Stranger. Hello, Kente. Hello, Solaris. Hello. Hello, Goopy. Hello, Mike DeBoing, which is in a call with us. Hello, me. Hello, Ivan. And hello to anybody who might be listening to this on TOZ.
Goopy. You mean Guppy?
Guppy, Goopy. I'll find my door and knock it down and smack it around. I don't know. Make me some Goopy or, I don't know, Guppy. A bar or something like sushi. I don't know.
Oh. Thank you. Thank you to all of the people that came to check out the show. Mike DeBoing, Neon. Do you have anything, Neon?
Guys, make sure to visit Silent Night's YouTube page. I'm going to type it again before I go for the night. He does a lot of great stuff. There was a person we're supposed to introduce. I guess we'll introduce him next week. His name is Speedy Combs. He's another TOZ member. Be sure to check out TOZ on TMU. Who knows, I might upload some 3D stuff. And thank you to Mike DeBoing and Ivan and Monk for always having me here. You too, Kente. And thanks, PK, for being here, man. It's so much fun. I love doing this stuff.
And PK, you got anything?
Just a quick hello to everybody in the chat room that still likes me. Just hello to anyone else that happens to be listening, and I'm sounding quite shy right now for some reason. I don't know why, but big up to everybody. Much respect to what you're doing right now, gentlemen, and that is it.
All right. Thank you so much, Ivan, for everything. And, you know, if you need anything that I can help with, I speak for Neon and Knight. I'm sure that if you need any help from them, you know.
Yeah, right. We're right here. So if you need
I can always use some voice actors.
Hey.
Hint, 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 hint.
Hey.
I was going to ask something about that, but I was going to wait until after this show.
But I hope the movie comes out and everyone enjoys it and have a great time watching it.
All right. And Monk?
Yes.
All right. So you have anything you want to tell
everybody? Yeah, y'all don't leave just yet. You guys in the chat room, you listening out there. We're about to do our Thursday night movie. I'm not quite sure what it's going to be tonight. Now, my vote this week was for Sex Kittens Go to College from 1960. And but apparently, no, you know, nobody else wants to watch this movie. And I have no idea why. It stars Louie Nye and Tuesday Weld. I mean, and how can you go wrong with a movie that's got sex in the title from 1960? And not only was this a B movie, this was a bad B movie. People who were in this have disassociated themselves with humanity for being in this movie. But apparently this is not going to be the movie we're going to do, I think. For some reason, King just left. He says, I'll be right back. And he's not back yet. So we'll be starting up here after a brief musical interlude. For those of you who did not come in earlier, it was a tribute to Desi Arnaz.
Oh, God. Well, I will definitely stay in the chat room and check out whatever horrible movie that you got going.
Don't worry, it will be bad.
I'm looking at the trailer right now, and it's...
Yeah, there's a trailer for this on YouTube. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Solaris says she can't watch it because she's underage.
Oh. I'm 57. I'm underage for this movie. But I'm sure we'll be doing something here shortly. So just hang around, guys. We'll be doing this in our usual Thursday night Gab Fest, starting up just in moments from now.
All right. Mike, I have a question. Where can it catch this? Is that TMU Theater or is it somewhere else?
The way this thing works, let me play the music and listen. We'll explain it all. Essentially, we go to a link on the computer, and we all start watching it at the same time. You listen to our commentary as you watch along with us.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, okay. You don't have to do the, we got our eyes in the chat room, and we usually, throw out great comments that come from the chat room, too. So there you go. That's what we do.
Nice.
Who knows? Most people don't make it past the first 30 minutes, but you never know.
Yeah.
if it's a bunch of people that can MST it like I do, then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think 1 week we did some stuff from the Prelinger archives. Your first date. Welcome to the wonderful world of meat. It's stuff like that.
There was one movie I was watching on there called Atomic Age Vampire.
Oh, yeah.
And
the
plot was somewhat interesting, but what I wanted to do was try and just download it and put it on my page as some, like, mini little MST type of
thing. The guys are getting restless now. They're starting to shake the bars. They want me to go ahead and let's start this thing. So you guys say goodnight so we can move on.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Peace out.
Bongo cero que se va. ¡Yep! ¡Hasta!